This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News Time on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Jamie Dickerman. Tyler Donaldson will have a report as well. Farm Service Agency county offices are open, but staff is limited to 2 county employees per location. Farmers are anxious to secure the signatures necessary to process farm loans, but North Dakota FSA State Executive Director Brad Dickerson says there are limitations.
The sad part is in North Dakota, we don't have a loan presence in every office, and the funding that we are able to open up these loan offices or these county offices are under CCC funds, and that doesn't cover our farm loan people. But I would encourage producers to bring these checks to the office now that it's open. They might have to leave them at the counter, and hopefully we can somehow have them postmarked or date stamped so that the producer can, down the road, hopefully not be forgiven some interest, that we could know that that money was available, but we just couldn't process it.
The services available are limited due to staff restrictions.
The government shutdown, and we can't be fully staffed, handcuffs us, and we are trying our best to get some money out. ARC PLC is one of them. We maybe have a CRP contract that we can that is finalized, that we can get those funds in there. But getting back to those checks, it's going to be hard for every office to be treated the same, and I think that's what's going to have a little hardship across North Dakota, because we don't have farm loan presence in every office.
Farmers are encouraged to communicate with their county offices. Dickerson stressed the need for patience, but remains confident this action will provide some relief for farmers.
The U.S. preparing to reopen an old trade dispute with China just days before President Trump meets Chinese President Xi in South Korea. The U.S. Trade Representative's office plans to launch a new investigation into whether China has upheld its commitments under the Phase 1 trade deal signed during Trump's first term. The review, expected to begin with a request for industry and labor input, and could lead to new tariffs under Section 301 of the Trade Act. The move comes as tensions rise over agricultural trade and export controls, with Trump expected to press Xi next week to increase U.S. commodity purchases and address ongoing market access concerns.
House Ag Committee ranking member Angie Craig says farmers are facing unprecedented pressures from tariffs and trade uncertainty. Craig says policies coming out of Washington are compounding the challenges family farmers already face in a tight farm economy.
The tariffs, they've inflated input costs and they've reduced demand, and it's shutting us out of markets. It's literally squeezing farmers from all sides. I'm truly worried. We've got bankruptcies up over 50% in Minnesota, and I come from a family. My grandfather was a farm foreman, and that farmer lost the job in the 1980s farm crisis, and my grandfather lost his job. So this is all very personal to me.
Craig says she's frustrated by what she describes as misplaced priorities at the federal level, pointing to recent financial support for foreign competitors rather than domestic producers.
The administration didn't reach out to me and ask what I thought of this, because I would have told them that this is the damn stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. The idea that you're going to continue with additional ag groups prop up a key competitor. Again, I mean, I don't know what the hell they're thinking, to be honest with you. You know, I encourage the Biden administration to go find more export markets for America's farmers. Honestly, I can't explain what they're doing and thinking, but everything they're doing just continues to worsen the environment in farm country.
The Trump administration getting pushback from lawmakers over the proposal to increase Argentine beef imports to offset consumer beef prices. Senate Majority Leader John Thune said this is not the right approach, and he hopes the White House has gotten that message. A group of farm state House Republicans delivering that same message. South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson said these efforts will only undermine the farmers and ranchers who put dinner on the table. North Dakota Representative Julie Fedorchak reaffirming her support for an America First philosophy, saying American ranchers can meet the needs and demands of the market.
Mexico's agriculture minister will be in Washington, D.C. next week, seeking a reopening of its border with the United States. Cattle have not moved across that border since May due to Mexico's problem with New World screwworm. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins has been critical of Mexico's response to screwworm in recent weeks.
President Trump says he's ending trade talks with Canada, citing what he called fraudulent advertisement from the Ontario government that used the voice of former President Ronald Reagan to criticize tariffs. Trump announcing on social media late last night that all trade negotiations with Canada are hereby terminated. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Working capital has been squeezed by low commodity prices. StoneX Vice President of Fertilizer, Josh Linville, says there should be pent-up demand for fertilizer this fall.
If it exists, and I think it's a very real question this year. Obviously, the farm gate is struggling mightily with cash flows, with the low price of grain, the high price of all the inputs. Cash flow just isn't there like it has been the last several years. So I think that the demand is there. We've got a big crop coming off that's going to remove a lot of nutrients. Our expectation continues to be a very large corn crop next year unless things can improve on the bean side. So we think it's going to be around.
If fertilizer isn't applied this fall due to a lack of cash, that business will be pushed into spring.
Our system is developed and built for a normal fall-spring split on its fertilizer applications. If we start overloading one side too much, like in this case the spring, now all of a sudden we've got logistical issues. Now all of a sudden we've got application capacity issues. Now all of a sudden we're trying to bid the same machine away from another farm, from another field. It can be a thing that actually helps us during the winter months when things get quiet, but there's a price to be paid in the springtime.
These are challenging times in agriculture. CoBank CEO Thomas Halverson is surveying the situation and asking himself key questions.
Is this a cyclical thing, which will be reversed through normal application of market forces over the next 6, 12, 18 months because we know commodity prices are cyclical, for example? Or is there something else going on that would make this more of a structural thing that's going to last multiple years and not going to be, you know, resolved by markets clearing in the normal market forces kind of way? And that's the question I'm trying to answer, and that's a question I'm posing, frankly, to lots of our customers.
Halverson believes these issues get more complicated as farmers get closer to making decisions for next year. CoBank is one of the largest private providers of credit to the U.S. rural economy. The Red River Farm Network asking Halverson about the current farm financial situation.
Our financial and operating performance is very strong. I'm very comfortable and confident in it. But I would tell you that the credit quality has softened some. And we've had more realized credit losses this year than we've had in quite a few years.
Halverson is a member of the Commission on U.S. Rural Prosperity, which hosted field hearings Wednesday near Castleton and yesterday at Manoman.
A warmer air mass moves in today, bringing mostly sunny skies and above average highs in the upper 50s to low 60s. Winds pick up out of the south at 15 to 20 miles per hour, marking the stretch of breezier conditions. This weekend stays mild with highs in the upper 50s to mid 60s, gusty winds out of the south-southeast. A weather system arrives on Monday, bringing rain through Tuesday and cooler temperatures into midweek. Highs generally will be in the 40s to near 50 degrees.
National FFA Convention in Indianapolis is next week, and among the over 70,000 students in attendance will be the Speak Ag Pioneers, will be busy advocating on behalf of both FFA and agriculture. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson reports.
Minnesota FFA State President Cameron Addington talks about the Speak Ag Pioneer program and his preferred avenue for sharing agriculture's story.
So it's a very cool program that National FFA has done for, I'd like to say, 6 or 7 years now, but it's very much so focused around ag advocacy and ag literacy. And so this year I'm partnering with a state officer from the state of Pennsylvania, Lexi Butler is her name, and we are kind of taking podcasting as our main avenue of ag advocacy. So over the next couple months, we're going to be rolling out a podcasting mini-series called Let's Speak Ag, and we're going to be interviewing farmers and stakeholders and people within National FFA, just again to kind of continue that advocacy that the program stands for.
For Addington, the choice to go with podcasting for his preferred method of advocacy was an easy one.
I personally have always loved listening to podcasts, whether it's, you know, Joe Rogan or Theo Vaughn or just listening to the news or current events. So I've kind of developed this passion for listening to podcasts. Lexi, on the other hand, has done her own podcast with a few other FFA members for a few years now. And so she has a lot of experience in the actual recording and production. So we're kind of combining those two experiences to maybe try something out on our own and do this Let's Speak Ag podcast.
Addington says they haven't released anything yet, but they're hard at work getting the first episode ready.
We haven't released anything yet. Our first episode tentatively is supposed to come out around Thanksgiving time. So in the next few weeks, we're going to be recording and editing and kind of all that.
The plan is to release episodes on Spotify and Apple Music. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
Reporting agriculture's business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The North Dakota FFA Foundation is hosting its fourth annual Blue and Gold Gala on November 8th in Fargo.
Honestly, it's one of those nights where you leave feeling proud of North Dakota Ag and the incredible people who've made it possible.
North Dakota FFA Foundation Program Coordinator Kayla Hart says there will be entertainment and a fundraising auction.
Yeah, we would love for people to RSVP before the event so we can get those numbers accounted for. And through our website, they will be able to secure a ticket. And if they have questions, they are more than welcome to reach out to us. We'd be happy to visit about other opportunities or how we can best accommodate them or their party.
As sugar beet harvest wraps up across North Dakota and Minnesota, growers being advised to focus on managing Cercospora leaf spot risk for next season. Favorable weather in both 24 and 25 led to heavy disease pressure, leaving behind inoculum that could spark early infections for 2026. Even fields that showed little visible disease this year may contribute to next year's outbreak. To help reduce risk, agronomists recommend increasing field separation, deep tillage to bury infected residue, and planning for a strong fungicide program if another warm, wet season develops.
U.S. Wheat Associates has released its 2025 U.S. Crop Quality Report, providing detailed analysis of more than 2,200 wheat samples collected nationwide. The annual report helps global wheat buyers evaluate the quality and value of this year's wheat crop. President and CEO Mike Spear says the report highlights the high-quality wheat grown in the U.S. by wheat farmers and used by millers and bakers around the world. Supported by USDA and state wheat commissions, the report features expanded testing and new data on product performance. It's now available for download on the U.S. Wheat Associates website. Checking markets, we're down 2 cents for Minneapolis wheat. That Dease contract, 556. Chicago wheat, December, a quarter penny higher. In the hard red winter wheat, KC wheat, December 1.5 higher. December corn, 1¾ lower, 426¼. Soybeans, November down 1¾ cents at 1043. March down by 1¼. Checking in on the farm calendar, next week, National FFA Convention beginning Wednesday, continuing into the weekend. That's taking place in Indianapolis. The Red River Farm Network will be there with our broadcast and online coverage. Minnesota AgriGrowth has its annual fall summit coming up next Thursday, October 30th. It's a different format this year. Starts at 3, wraps up at 8. It'll be held in St. Louis Park. Again, Minnesota AgriGrowth. The 2025 Canola Wheat Outlook and International Durham Forum is coming up November 5th and 6th. That's taking place in Minot, North Dakota. And NDSU, a cattle backgrounding program, will be held November 6th. That's at the North Central Research Extension Center in Minot. You can contact your county extension office for more details. And the American Ag Bankers, they're getting together for their annual ag conference, their ag conference, November 12th through the 14th, St. Louis, Missouri. Have a great day and a great weekend. This is the Red River Farm Network.